Hi, and welcome to another Music Ally Focus with me, Music Ally's editor, Joe Sparrow. And in this episode, we're joined by Virginie Berger, a long-established music tech industry expert who specializes in rights management and digital transformation, amongst many other things. Now, like many people working in the innovative areas of the music industry, she's been doing deep research into the role that AI will play in the music industry. But I wanted to talk to her about a specific area of it. So I picked her brains on what role artificial intelligence will play in music marketing and fan engagement. All that coming up in just 1 minute. Now, each Music Ally Focus episode analyzes one meaningful music business story at a time, and thus this podcast is going to be quick. It should take about the same amount of time as Song Chuanai from China could flip an omelet 3,000 times. Song flipped an omelet 117 times in 1 minute in 2013, a record I think is ready to be broken. Now, talking of flipping things on its head, AI is promising revolution in every aspect of our lives and fundamental changes to the business of music and its creation. But what about the important part after that, where a lot of people work connecting that music with the fans out there in the real world? So I asked Virginie to explain how AI tools are already streamlining community building, how they're creating unique fan experiences and generating bespoke content, and how this may develop quickly, it seems, in the coming years. Let's go and speak to Virginie right now. Hello, Virginie.
Hello, nice to be with you today.
It's a pleasure to see you. Now, we're going to be talking about the use of AI in the music industry, but outside of generative music, AI, and all the things that are sort of stealing the headlines, really. And we want to talk about it in terms of other practical uses where people in the music industry might be using AI for things like fan engagement and music marketing. But first of all, could you just give us a little bit of context? Let us know sort of your background, who you are, what you do, and your work investigating AI.
I'm a bit old. I've been working in the music industry for more than 25 years now, but always, you know, at the intersection between music and technology. My first job, for instance, was at Microsoft. So I really started with technology. I also worked for MySpace, for rights organizations. So I really have like a good expertise with all things, you know, around innovation and music. And rights, because it's also part of AI now.
Yes.
Really, my expertise is about explaining tech people that actually they can't oversimplify the problem, you know, of the music industry, because it's most of the time it's what we can see. I started to work on AI, I would say 10 years ago, more than 10 years ago, because one of my clients was a machine learning company. So that's why I started to work on AI and see what we can do with AI. And I really started to dig into AI in 2018. But, well, I can't say that I had, you know, a lot of success with AI in 2018. And people were not very interested, you know, in working or talking about AI. I started to talk about the bias. It was really, for me, the most important thing. And now in 2023, most of my clients, I launched my own company 1 year ago, and most of my clients are really into AI, but AI innovation, not, when I say innovation, it's really about helping, you know, the music industry with AI. So it can be like, you know, tracking royalties, missing royalties and rights. It can be like identification of unlicensed music. So I'm really into that field of our helping the music industry with AI instead of being stuck with, you know, AI-generated content.
Yeah, okay. So, and that's the kind of way we're going to be looking at it in this podcast as well. We've spoken a lot on the podcast and in our written work at Music Ally about music generative AI, but there's a significant potential use of AI and machine learning and all those tools that we've not discussed. And that's what I want to talk to you about, which is, it almost feels a little bit, it's less exciting maybe in a sort of headline sense than press a button and a song comes out of a computer, but actually could be something which is, from a day-to-day perspective for people working in the music industry, this could be something that is more impactful. In that area, can you give us a sort of overview of what changes AI might bring, maybe with some examples?
Oh, yeah, no, absolutely. You're absolutely right. It's not very sexy to talk about, you know, how AI can help. It's a bit like, you know, talking about rights or data. It's kind of the same thing when you talk about it in the music industry. Yeah, I agree. It's really, AI can really help on the business side, on the marketing business side with, you know, fan experience, for example, how you can create personalized fan experience. It can also help with data-driven marketing strategy and also AI assistant content creation. When I say assistant content creation, it's not really about writing posts. It can help or create, you know, image, for example, mm-hmm. but it can also really help with thinking about your social media strategy. So you ask, for example, so we have, for example, Endel. It's an AI-driven platform that can create personalized soundscapes based on, you know, environment and mood. And they will use real data like the weather, for example, or location. So imagine if you have a storm, you know, what kind of soundscape you can have. You also have the partnership with between Warner Music and the Wave VR. It's also AI-driven platform, and they will transform how fan will understand, you know, will experience music during a concert, and they will, you know, offer like interactive and immersive virtual reality concerts. So they will also help with fan understanding better the music, which can be, you know, like showing the layers, the layers of music, you know, with really having like this immersive experience. You also have a very good tool when we talk about, you know, data and statistics. You have a very good tool, Landmark. It's a location-based experience platform. So you will be able to unlock exclusive content. So the fan will be able to unlock exclusive content. You know, Taylor Swift, for example, did it. And it's based on their location. So where they are, and, you know, it was like kind of the same thing with Pikachu. You know, you have to drive everywhere in the city. So it's a bit, you know, a bit like the same thing. Where you are will help you to unlock exclusive content. So it's really interesting because we have some metrics now, and we know that platforms that use, you know, those types of AR and those type of personalization will see a 30 to 35% increase in user engagement, and we can see a similar boost in streaming numbers. So using AI, and especially using data-driven AI can really help with, you know, interaction with the fan, and can really help with, you know, user engagement.
Let's talk about that in a sort of day-to-day sense for people who are working on the marketing side of the music industry, whether they're at labels or management or doing all these things, creating campaigns to make people engage. You've mentioned a bunch of tools there that are sort of allowing users to sort of, it sort of changes the dynamic of music in some sense, because they're engaging with it in different ways and for different reasons. But from the perspective of someone who's working to get music out to people and connect with them, what might AI change in terms of their workflows and how they plan to engage with people? And is it a case of like them thinking differently about how they market music with these tools?
Oh yeah, I would have loved, you know, to have AI 10, 15 years ago when, you know, I created my company in France, and it was really, you know, dedicated to marketing and fan marketing. And it took so much time to create campaign, to understand the data, to understand, you know, social networks. So now, marketer now in the music industry, yeah, they really, you know, can save time and effort with AI, but also because they can automate tasks. So it can really help with, you know, to tailor marketing campaign and to tailor content actually, and to create better social media campaign, because now that I'm not, you know, when I had my company, so I really had to understand what to do with Twitter, what to do with Facebook, what to do with Instagram. And every day, you know, with new data, marketing, statistic, content to create. And now really it can help with those tasks. But I just want to warn that AI in terms of creating content per se, like, you know, writing blogs, for example, is not so good. It's also something that people have to keep in mind. I use a lot AI. I test a lot, you know, ChatGPT and Claude and Diversity. And if you are not, you know, on their back, if I may use, you know, that word for AI, it's really not so good. So it can really help with a strategy. You can see AI like a sparring partner, but don't think that AI will replace a blog post, for example. Mm. I'm not sure that AI will replace journalists, you know, anytime soon when you read, you know, how AI works. Yeah, I'm sure. But for marketers, so I know that we'll talk about, you know, chatbot later, but so they can use AI for many tasks, like we talked about it, like personalized content. So really AI can, you know, with AI algorithm, so the tool can analyze, you know, fan data, for example, and create customized content that is, you know, relevant now. And when you see, when you look at the world and what's happening now in the world, it's not easy to, you know, how to talk, what to post, how to reach people. It's always, you know, black and white now on social media. So AI can be very helpful with, you know, analyzing the mood, analyzing the content, and create, you know, really a specific content that will be, you know, personalized for, you know, video, articles, social media posts. So AI can really, you know, write like message, captions, stories for fans. That you have, once again, warning to read, because, you know, it can be a bit lame sometimes how AI write, but it will help you and guide you with the writing.
I mean, that sounds really interesting. And what I'm trying to understand, and perhaps our listeners are trying to think about, is, okay, well, how will it impact how I do my work? Because clearly, what you're saying is, and we all know this, is that AI is imperfect. You do need to check. And there's a sort of, it sounds a bit like we are all going to become editors in a way, where we are presented with suggestions from these AI tools, whatever they are, and then we sort of choose the best one, and that goes through. And like you say, captions under photographs or short messaging that takes a lot of time to do, but if you can get AI to do it, that would be very helpful. I'm interested in the part about where it sort of starts to connect with data, because we've got a really important thing for almost all artists now is to the direct-to-fan connection, and the impetus behind that is to get really good data on their fans and use that data to make good decisions, to connect better. Because what fans want is a close connection and authenticity. And so how will that work with AI, do you think? Because How will AI help people sort of get all their data together and find new opportunities?
Yeah, absolutely. So AI can help with, you know, personalized content, absolutely. But for me, just, you know, just one side of AI, but it's more interesting to think about predictive, you know, analytics. It's what you are talking about. We also have, you know, how to improve fan engagement based on predictive analytics and personalized recommendation. So about predictive analytics, it's more like AI will provide predictive analytics that can help the marketer make better decisions. So most of the time, so AI will, you know, look at what's happening on the internet around an artist or around a song. It's going to be based on, you know, the interaction between fan and this artist on this song, and based on that, so the tool will be able to provide data and to provide decisions around those metrics. So I just, you know, when I prepared the podcast, I worked a lot on chatbots and analytics. And I found a lot, actually, I found a lot of very good examples. Not, I mean, on music, absolutely, but you know what? On sports.
Right.
And they are very good. Football team. Soccer, for if you have, you know, listeners in the US, but yeah. Football team. Very, very good, actually. So they have, you know, and especially for fantasy football. So it's something that I don't know because I don't play fantasy football games. And I was very, you know, ignorant about fantasy football games. But obviously what they are doing, so there is a tool that will be able will help fans to predict the outcome of a game based, you know, and we provide insights into the performance of the players. So the fan
right.
will be able to make, you know, a decision and, you know, and betting based on what AI will provide. And it's kind of the same with music. AI will be able to analyze, you know, the behavior of the fan, but not only online, but also offline. For example, you have AI tools that are able to read, a venue, to read attendees of a concert, and they will be able to provide info to the marketing team. For example, during concert, they will be able to say, oh, you know, I like that song, or they don't like that song. And you have tools that are able to change the set list based on of the mood of, right. you know, the attendees. And it's the same online. It's okay. So how do they react to that post? How do they react to this video? How do they react to this music? And they will be able to, you know, build a strategy based on the reaction of the fan. But here, it's something that can be very helpful. But also, I'm not sure that sometimes, I'm not sure if the artist must absolutely react to, you know, what the fan wants all the time. Not sure here. No, it's between creation and music.
And it sounds like these tools are sort of, we hear the word co-pilot a lot, and it's helping people make decisions and sort of fine-tuning decisions. Like you say, it would be great to have some sort of semantic feedback, mood feedback to understand how to make a set list really, really good. And of course, like I said before, the one thing people really want, fans really want, is authenticity. And that's the one thing that AI can't provide. You can train it to, I mean, I've seen some platforms that will train an AI on the social media posts and writings and lyrics of an artist and provide a sort of an artist chatbot. Fans know that it is a chatbot. But it is a chatbot that is in this sort of mood and talks and writes like an artist. But that will never obviously replace the real thing, right? So how will they be implemented really then? How will, for example, chatbots or interactions with artists that are sort of mediated by AI?
What can be interesting actually with chatbot? It's really about, you know, receiving customized alert on their platforms, you know, on their smartphones, for example, about the latest news, you know, highlight everything around an artist. Let's take, you know, core fan like Taylor Swift fan, the Swifties. I'm sure that they absolutely want, you know, to receive all news about an artist. But what is really interesting about chatbot, so for maybe, you know, your listeners who don't use chatbot, it's really a computer programs, and they are designed to interact with, you know, to simulate a human conversation. And we all know when we have to, you know, for when we have to talk with a chatbot, let's talk about, you know, customer service, for example, on Amazon. We know that it's a chatbot. We know that it's not real because it's not the same thing. So as you said, it's more like, you know, for the fan, it's more like getting some fresh news instead of, you know, thinking that they talk with a fan. But you can think chatbot, we talked about, you know, marketing and business and how to use AI in on the side business of the industry. Chatbot, but can be also very interesting for, you know, societies, rights organizations, for example, where, you know, you have a lot of their members who have questions about what to do with their rights and royalties. And sometimes it's very complicated to find the answers online because there are too many answers. Or they don't know, you know, how to find the answers on the website, let's say PRS or GEMA. And thanks to the chatbot, you know, here it can be very helpful for the members and for the affiliates because they can get, you know, direct answers. So for that side of the business, for the very, you know, like technical correct answers, it can be really helpful. But on the music side, chatbot, so as I said, I found a lot of very interesting example of chatbot with football game. Yeah. And Manchester United, for example, FC Barcelona, they use a lot chatbots. And so the fan of their team, they can just, you know, have live match updates, player statistics, content. They can like talk with a player from time to time. On the music side, so you have two artists, Maroon 5. They have very cool chatbot where, you know, fan can get some personalized messages, for example. They also have quizzes about Maroon 5. They can also, you know, provide their what they want to listen to during concert, for example. They have like polls about the set list. So it's kind of interesting because it's also something they are doing based on location. And geographic location, let's say that they will tour in London or, you know, in Los Angeles. And so the fan will be able to interact based on their location, and they will be able to provide, you know, oh, I would like to have maybe this song or this song, or I would like to have like a personalized message. And it's what happened when sometimes you have like, you know, a wedding proposal during during a concert because the fan, you know, asked if, you know, it would be able to have like to do his wedding proposal during the concert. Dua Lipa also is using a lot chatbot. And they have a lot of interaction, but it's always the same thing because fans know that it's, you know, it's not really the artist at the end. So it's more like interaction, but you can see if you take a look at, you know, with Arsenal, Arsenal London. So they have a chatbot that they call Robert Pires. Mm-hmm. So I guess it's for Robert Pires. Not very good once again.
Your
Absolutely. Yeah. And so and it's very funny because so it will allow, you know, directly the fan to interact, you know, via Facebook, Telegram, Skype, Slack. So it's really, you know, all platform. And so they will be able to see, you know, like behind the scenes videos, and also they have player statistics, you know, NBA also did the same thing. So it's also it's interesting because it can keep, you know, the engagement of the fan, core fan, very high. And also the fan have, you know, like, it's like being, it's like a privilege. You know, they have, they can see behind the scene, they will be able to, you know, to interact with the artist, they will be able to give, you know, their feedback about a song, to give their feedback about, you know, a playlist. It's something that you talked about direct to fan. I remember 2013, 2014, it was really something, you know, really big, like letting the fan being involved in the creative process. I don't support that at all. I think that, as you said, you know, we are really looking for authenticity and making sure that, you know, that, you know, the creative process from the artist will be authentic. But at the same time, it's a way to keep the fan involved and for the fan to feel like, you know, it's like a sense of belonging to the same community, like the Swifties, for example. I'm a huge Radiohead fan, for example, but it's not really the type of artist I can see with chatbot. but it's really, you know, having that sense of, you know, belonging to a community.
So it could, the way they could work is by sort of understanding the needs of the fan base and feeding them information in a more sort of in a way that's more in tune with what they expect and how they expect to get it. And that can then be a component of all the other things that are going on in the marketing campaign. It can sort of feed it to them in a better way, I guess, is what you're saying.
I agree with you. And also because it's kind of complicated now, you know, to be in contact with the fans. 10 years, you know, 10 years before, when we were 10 years ago, when we had only, you know, like Twitter or Facebook or YouTube, MySpace, it was not like, you know, there were a sense of interaction between the artist and the fan, but now between Instagram, TikTok, you know, all the platforms everywhere, it's not like easy to interact with the fan and also to understand the fan. So when you talked about how we can use, you know, analytics, so you have on SoundCloud, for example, you have they introduced AI-powered tool. It's First Fan, the name of the tool. Mm-hmm. It's a first time feature, and actually, it will analyze, you know, the user behavior, the music preferences, and you know, all interaction to understand, you know, the difference between a follower and a fan. And because you can be a follower of a musician, it doesn't mean that you're a fan of a musician. Mm. And thanks to that feature, so they will be able to analyze, you know, the data. And really to understand, you know, who will become a fan, and from there being able to feed them with, you know, exclusive content, early release of the tracks, and all those types of content to keep, you know, the interaction. Because something else I remember, you know, 10 years ago when we started to talk about direct to fan, it was really, you know, the concept of we just need 1,000 fans. You know, 1,000 fans to make a living for an artist. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, now find the 1,000 fans. They, you know, it's very complicated to keep your fans, actually, because, you know, you have so many, you know, new types of music and new releases every day. So how can you make sure that you'll be in contact with your fans? So for sure, that type of feature, the feature from SoundCloud will help creators to understand the behavior of their followers, and from there to help them to, you know, get in touch, keep the contact with the followers, and from there, you know, switch them from being a follower to a fan.
Okay, so it's going to help in those sort of fine-tuned situations where you're increasing fandom and maybe helping artists to not be overwhelmed by their communication, which is sort of on them at the moment.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's fan segmentation, actually. It's really, you know, how to engage with content across, you know, platforms, and how to, you know, really how to interact with your fan. And yeah, it's a lot for creators, absolutely.
Yeah, okay. And let's look to the future a bit then. It feels inevitable that AI is going to be part of our lives, whether we know it or not. A lot of the tools will not be branded as AI, but they'll be powered by AI. So what might the future of music marketing look like with AI? I know this is a big question, but if we're getting assistance from AI like this, how might it look in sort of 5 years from the perspective of a fan, an artist, and a marketer? What might those tangible changes be in the way that they behave around communication and marketing?
Well, 5 years, you know, with AI, in five years we'll have, you know, the famous AGI, the artificial general, you know, intelligence, and we'll be, you know, Skynet or Jarvis. I don't know. You know, I'm a huge sci-fi fan, so sometimes, you know, when I watch a movie with, you know, when they say computer, in all Star Trek, so maybe it's going to be the case. I don't know.
The Terminator outcome is still possible. That's what you're saying.
Oh yeah, I don't really think that AI would be such a threat to humanity. Or maybe, you know, I'm very naive. I don't know. But okay. I don't really think that it's going to be a threat. But in 5 years, I don't know. It's kind of very funny. But what we can see that the thing with so I hope that, you know, all the tools like ChatGPT and Claude will improve at some point, because the issues we talked a bit, you know, in the beginning of the discussion about, you know, the bias and also the fact that it's probability. So probability means that they can lie a lot with AI hallucination. So let's hope that, you know, they will really improve that side of AI. But AI assisted marketing, let's say AI assisted marketing, will really already have a significant impact, but will have really a significant impact on, you know, the fan base, the artist, and the marketer. So you asked a question about, you know, the fan base. So I think that based on what we can see now and when we can project, you know, for the next 5 years. So really, it will help to create more personalized, you know, experience and engaging experiences with AI power recommendations. So it's where I think, I hope that they will be able to trick the buyers, because the issue with AI power recommendation mean that maybe we will listen to the same thing all the time. So I really hope that it's something they will be able to trick, but hope that in 5 years, you know, it's going to be different. But so we can see, I hope that, you know, interactive content, virtual content, the fact that maybe, you know, each fan at some point, maybe will receive like its own, you know, personalized and engaging experience from, you know, a fan perspective, or we'll be able to discover more artists, or maybe we'll be able to create, imagine a duet, you know, between a fan and artist.
Yeah.
So
right.
we can really yeah. think about, you know, many, many engaging experience between, you know, the fan and the artist. On the artist, I hope that it will help. I say hope because of, you know, the threat of Skynet. That's why.
Yes.
But,
yes.
but so it will be like maybe better insight. So let's talk about, you know, the marketing, not the creative process, but
yeah.
in marketing, hope that it will offer better insights into fan preferences, and most important, better revenue streams.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if we can think about, you know, voice licensing, for example, or you talked about direct fan, but maybe because you will be able to understand better their fans, and maybe they will be able to, you know, personalize better the experience with the fan. So maybe it can increase the revenue stream because they will be able to sell, you know, different products. You know, remember the platform in 2013, 2014, Topspin?
Yes.
It was amazing platform, really. I mean, too soon, but amazing platform. And it was kind of that idea to personalize the revenue streams and to, and they were able to really to offer a specific product to their fans. So it's going to be the same thing here. It's based on, you know, the analysis of the fan and the fan segmentation. So we can think that maybe the artist would be able to provide, you know, specific experience, so that will lead to new revenue streams for the artist and maybe new licensing for the artist. But, you know, it's another discussions about voice.
Yeah.
And for the marketer, so, well, it will help them to create, you know, better campaign, to have AI power tool, you know, for content creations, audience analysis, so really to understand where are the audience and what the audience is expecting, and also campaign optimization, because it's also something that is kind of complicated, you know, even if we have tons of tools and data to understand where you should emphasize your music, give visibility to your music, what type of platform, what type of messaging, where to go, what should you offer? And it's kind of, you know, even now, even if we have tons of data, it's not always easy to get, you know, a good return on investment on your campaign. So with in 5 years, so we can think that maybe, you know, data analytics will be directly you know, included into the tool, then will, you know, help the marketer to improve in real time his campaign. That would be great, don't you think, you know, to be able to improve, you know, directly your, maybe your segmentation of the fan, or, you know, your targets or your words. So it can really help for me. It can really help to personalize fan interaction, help with, you know, social media marketing, but also develop, and it's the most important for me, develop, you know, new revenue streams for the artists based on the personalization of the content.
Okay. Right. Well, assuming Skynet does not take over, perhaps we can speak again in 5 years and see how right you were. Perhaps you can supply a few links of the sort of examples of tools that you've mentioned, and I'll put them next to the podcast.
Yeah, sure.
People can have a look at them and see what's happening now, and look for parallel ones in the music industry, or ways to use them in the music industry. And before you go, Virginie, One final question. We've talked about music technology. We've talked about AI, but let's talk about music for the last question. And my last question is, what is your favorite piece of music if you could only listen to one thing for the rest of your life? I have a hunch based on what you mentioned earlier, but I won't try and predict.
Well, I said that I'm a huge fan of Radiohead, so yes. It's not very complicated. It's Radiohead. But don't ask me to choose one piece because, okay. You know, Radiohead is like rabbit hole. When you start, you know, listening to just one song, you want to listen to more. So right now, I'm listening to a lot in Rainbow's version, but the version, you know, in the basement.
Yes.
It's amazing. So, Reckoner. Weird Fishes, I don't
know.
Reckoner.
You can have a whole album. You can have a whole album if you'd like.
In Rainbows, okay. In the basement.
Right, perfect.
Yeah.
I will put a link to that next to the podcast as well.
It's absolutely beautiful, yeah.
Yeah, and have you always been a Radiohead fan?
Always.
What was it that made you so intrigued by them?
Oh, it's beautiful. I mean, it's Radiohead, it's absolutely perfect. That it's when you listen to Radiohead, what I like, it's very innovative. It's not, you know, when you listen to OK Computer, if I start to listen to OK Computer, I will listen to OK Computer for maybe, you know, 1 week in a row. That's why, you know, when you start listening to one album, one song, you have to listen to the whole album. But it's because it's absolutely fascinating how they create music. It's really, really innovative. It's not an easy music. You know, I understand when people, you know, say that it's a music snob, Radiohead, which is absolutely not, because it's more like it's not easy to be into Radiohead. But when you start listening to Radiohead, it's absolutely beautiful. And what I like is the voice of Tom York is, I mean, one of the best.
Unique, yeah.
Oh, gosh, yes. But it's not like you have the voice and behind the voice, the music. It's not that. It's more like the voice guides you through the music. And thanks to the voice, you can hear, you know, all the music and all the layers, because you're in Radiohead, it's just layers, you know, of music. And when you watch, because the basement is on YouTube, and when you watch them, you know, just playing and piano, and at the same time with, you know, the lemon, I mean, the...
Yes, the shaky, yes.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just, I think that, I don't know, Radiohead for me, it's like classical music. It's good for my brain, I would say.
Yeah.
And what I also like is that they don't really care about, you know, what fan think about them. They just do what they want to do. They are super innovative. And sometimes it's a bit like, from what if you take, you know, In Rainbows and then Kid A and then it's OK Computer, it's not the same music.
No, absolutely not the same.
And they don't care. They don't care about, you know, sales. They don't care about commercial. They don't care about, it's for me, they are, you know, just genius, music genius.
Yeah, okay.
Even if you listen to one very good song, the song that they created for James Bond, this song is absolutely amazing. Much, much, much better than the song from Sam Smith. Sorry, Sam Smith. But, you know, it's Radiohead. So I'm kind of, you know, not obsessed. It's not the word, because...
A super fan. But, I think you just confirmed your super fan credentials. I don't
buy their t-shirts. I'm not sure that they even have t-shirts, you know. It's just like their music is amazing. Yeah.
Okay.
So that's
why. I think you've sold us on
I hope. So, yes. Please watch the basement. Yes. It's amazing. Yes.
I will put a link to it beneath the podcast as well.
Yeah. But you know, I switched because my father was the first time he listened to Radiohead. He was, okay. My father is a rock fan. You know, MC5, you know, like that, The Clash. So Radiohead. And now he's a fan. So if I was able to convert my father, I'm sure it's okay.
Okay, good. Good to know. Okay. Virginie, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
All right, that was it. Enormous thank you to Virginie again for joining us. And she has supplied a very comprehensive list of links and descriptions to interesting tools for you to check out. They are below the podcast as ever. And if you found that discussion or those links or both useful, please share this podcast on with someone else who you think will get something out of it. And if you want to get in touch with me, I, of course, would love to hear from you. You can email me on joe@musically.com. We've also got a free weekly email called The Knowledge, which rounds up bits and pieces of the best analysis, news, marketing insight, and skills from across all of Music Ally's broad range of services. So sign up and impress your boss. Links to all of that are in the description as ever. So that's it. Thanks for joining us here on Music Ally Focus. I've been Joe Sparrow. You've been you. And until next time, farewell.